Good evening, and welcome back to the Know Your Role Player Podcast. I'm your host, J215 Forever. Follow your boy on IG, and on my IG page is my podcast page, that is at Know Your Role Player _ podcast. The best way that you can listen to this podcast is to download the Anchor app. That's anchor.fm/KnowYourRolePlayer. Whether you have Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, Radio Public, iHeartRadio, Overcast, and many, many more, you will get episodes like the one you are currently listening to becomes available. All right, guys, welcome to part two of the season preview slash win totals. All right, I did part one, 1.5 went up. I love the feedback on that. Let's jump right into part two. All right. So next, we're going to talk about the Charlotte Hornets. The Charlotte Hornets have a win total of 30.5. That's the average number. Okay. So here we go. I like the Charlotte Hornets. They're not going to be good. I mean, 30 wins is still really bad, but they'll be improved. You know, it's a couple of things with Charlotte. One, you always got to start with Charlotte is LaMelo, right? And there has to be some type of commitment to effort on defense, right? I never doubt Melo's talent with the, you know, he improved as a three-point shooter last year. I'm thinking he's going to improve better as going to the rim. I think his floaters and teardrops. I don't think it's going to be hard for him to become a more complete offensive player, right? But the thing about LaMelo is it's not about the offense. It's about the defense. It's about everything else, like the fine little tune things. And it's not that he can't do them. He definitely can do them, but, you know, he's got to make the fourth day effort. You know, again, this team's not good. It would have been so lovely if they would have got Victor Wembanyama. But, you know, it is what it is. I like this team. Let's talk about the roster for a second, all right? Now, the thing with Charlotte is they have some talent, but there's some questionable characters on there, right? Miles Bridges has severe off-the-court issues he's got to deal with. And, you know, it's really bad with Miles Turner. I try to keep things about basketball, but again, it's about being a professional first. And if you can't handle your business off the court, it is going to affect your business on the court. And it's affecting his. He's pretty close to getting cut, man. All right. So he's an issue. You know, we have Gordon Haywood's kind of on expiring contract. You know, listen, he was a big signing. He was a big trade when they got him, but he's kind of dealt with injuries and it's just kind of tough. A couple of guys that we're looking for is, let's talk about the stud rookie and Brandon Miller. All right. From Alabama, I believe. 6'9", 200 pounds. Listen, he's really good. So when you look at guys that you want to put in with LaMelo, you want guys that can shoot threes. You want to run. You want guys with high upside. And I do think, even though a lot of people were upset before the draft, that they took Brandon Miller over Scoot Henderson. Again, y'all know I love Scoot. If it wasn't for Wembanyama, he would probably be my rookie of the year or probably finish second. But Brandon Ingram is a high-ceiling player. You know, he was the best player in college, has a really good jump shot, three-point shot. His game projects to do well in the NBA, right? And you look at it, playing with LaMelo in transition, hitting him with open three-point shots. I like this team. You know, we have some consistent players. And Terry Rozier, always a really good scorer. P.J. Washington is the swing player. Actually, no, I take that back. Mark Williams is the swing player for me. So P.J. Washington, after signing a contract extension, has to rebound a little bit more. Only averaged a little over 4.5 rebounds per game. Has some really big games. Remember, he had one really big 40-point game. And, you know, he's a solid player. Hashtag know your role player. But the guy for me is Mark Williams. Remember earlier in the season, right, when Charlotte played and they used to get dogged out on the glass. I mean, you used to see Jokic and my man from Sacramento. You used to see so many power forwards and centers just cleaning up versus Charlotte. I'm thinking it's going to get a little better. Mark Williams from Duke was a guy I wasn't really high on, but he fills out. He's a good-sized player. And he was a double-double machine. He actually beat out Kai Jones and wound up taking the center spot. And he'll be starting center this year. So I like that. Again, the team isn't good, but they're going in the right direction. That's all you can ask for. Again, I don't expect nothing from Miles Bridges because you have to be professional off the court and on the court. And he's not doing what he needs to do. All right, so James Bouknight, hashtag know your role player, was a rookie from UConn that was a lights-out shooter. He's in here, another one having off-the-court issues. And it's kind of a bit of a theme a little bit with some of these guys. Like, Bouknight, I think he got arrested at the time. You know, something frivolous. he's really talented, and he was one of my favorite players when he got drafted, but it don't look like he's going to get much time off the bench, man. So we'll see, man. But again, when we look at a win total of 31.5, Steve Clifford is going to have these guys playing hard. The only thing you can ask them to do is improve. They'll be in competitives in a lot of games. They won't win, but they'll push you. And that's really all you ask for with Charlotte, you know. Get another high draft pick. Get a legit second star with LaMelo. You know, let LaMelo improve. And that's pretty much it. So, again, I do like the win total. Even though I don't think this team will be good, I do like their win total, though. All right? Let's keep it moving. All right. Now, let's talk about the Chicago Bulls. All right? So the Chicago Bulls have a win total of 37.5, and I will respectfully take the under. I want to be very specific. This is a good team. This is a team with good players, but they're not a good team, right? And the biggest issue with the Lakers is, you know, flummoxing point guard Lonzo Ball, unfortunately, is out for the season again with the knee injury. He says he'll look to play, but his career is in jeopardy. He hasn't played in a couple of years, and you know, it's really unfortunate because when he was there, it was stability. He would play fast. He would get other guys easy buckets. You know, DeMar DeRozan last year had an absolutely phenomenal year. That's important to remember. But you got to think, if this team gets off to a slow start, like a 2-6 or a 2-7, to me, they're the number one team in the league that can blow it up. You have plenty of assets in Vucevic, DeRozan, Zach LaVine. You can blow it up fast. And again, I know that's tough for Chicago fans to hear because they're like, yo, what are we developing? What are we building? But the worst place you want to be in the NBA is in the middle. You know, when you're not going better and you're not getting worse, they're right there at that, you know, might get the play-in tournament like they did last year, might win a game, might lose a game, but they're not making no real noise. You know, listen, again, their roster's not bad. If we look at their roster, again, Lonzo Ball not playing this year. Javon Carter, solid backup defensive role player. Alex Caruso will probably have to start. Really good defensive player. Makes simple plays on offense. Doesn't do too much. With the other offensive scorers, I would look for them to start Alex Caruso. Torrey Craig is a backup power forward. Kind of a journeyman from Phoenix. Andre Drummond is a guy that drives me crazy. Once an all-star power forward, this guy makes boneheaded decisions. He's not smart with the basketball, and I think he's pretty close to being washed. I could be wrong, and again, the thing with Drummond is he's so good that even when he's not good, he's going to pile up numbers. He'll still get these 8 to 10 rebound games, but he just doesn't make smart basketball decisions, and I'm just not a fan of him. Ayo Dosunmu is a really good backup guard, combo guard that can play the 1 or the 2, hashtag know your role player. I'm really hoping that he gets more time. You know, he's one of their bright young players. Not a big star or nothing, but again, he's a good, solid backup guard. Again, Zach LaVine, to me, is the big looming question mark. You know, again, if this team struggles, which I believe they will open the gate, DeRozan, LaVine, Vucevic, all those guys could really help some NBA teams out here. And I'm just saying, man, I don't know if we could get Harden to Chicago, but man, we could get a little three-team deal, send some picks off, and make some miracles happen. I would love to see it, right? Dallin Terry is another guy that I loved in college. Hashtag know your role player. See, I'm going to keep the same energy. Unfortunately, some of these guys that I love about situations, and they're not getting a lot of burn. I think Dallin Terry can really play. But again, I don't know if he's getting off that bench over Ayo Dosunmu and Kobe White. Kobe White is a combo guard, really good shooter, really bad defender, inconsistent. And then Patrick Williams is probably the swing player. You know, he's your 3-and-D power forward that can guard multiple positions, that can rebound, that can defend. He's really one. So, again, I'm not buying the Chicago Bulls. There's a good bunch of parts, but it doesn't make a whole team. And I will happily take the under for the Chicago Bulls. All right? All right, now let's keep it moving. Next, we have the Cleveland Cavaliers with an over of 50.5. So I'm going to respectfully take the under, but I'm going to have an asterisk next to that, right? I love this Cavaliers team. They're young. They're ambitious. They have a lot of good talent. They had one of the biggest rises from 22 wins to 42 wins last year. The addition of Donovan Mitchell was, phenomenal. I love Darius Garland, probably one of the best passers in the league and probably one of the last few pure point guards, you know, even though sometimes he has to score. I think he's really a gifted passer. So A couple of things. Cleveland's defense was really good, but there's going to have to be offensive growth, right? And what I mean by that is when you have guys like Jared Allen and Evan Mobley, one of those guys has to shoot more. So the good part is Evan Mobley, does have shooting chops. So he's going to have to start shooting corner threes and just going to have to be more of an offensive hub. You know, I did watch them in the preseason, a lot of elbow action as far as dribble handoffs, you know, high post action with the Cavaliers. I think that's really good. You know, in order for them to grow, you know, you got consistent play. Well, you got inconsistent play sometimes from Garland, but the consistently good players are Garland and Mitchell. But you're going to need more. Again, Evan Mobley is their swing player. He's their star. He's their future. And he's the guy that's going to have to grow. He's going to have to become more of a shooter. He's going to have to be aggressive in games. He can't have games where he's disappearing and not taking shots. You know, one thing about the Cavs, I wasn't a big Isaac Okoro fan, but Caris LeVert is okay. But I think they're going to be a little bit better. Again, I think they're going to be a top five team. I think they're going to be a make the playoffs, but 51 wins is a lot. I think they're going to be a little bit under that in kind of the 45 to 49 range. I don't think they're going to hit that 50 win mark, but I do see this team improving. Again, it starts internally, right? Donovan Mitchell, you want to keep improving as a ball handler. He averaged 12.4 points as a ball handler in pick and roll action at his second in the NBA among qualified players. All right, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. But again, the problem with the Cavs, I can't see them starting Isaac Okoro. He shot 46% over the arc in his last 28 games of the season after making less than 30%. I'm going to respectfully not buy that sample size. He's a phenomenal hustle player, plays good defense. But the thing with Okoro is he's limited. And right, the other thing is with Okoro, he's just not a good offensive player. And when you have Jared Allen, who's a non-shooter, and Evan Mobley, who's still developing, you basically got two guys that can really shoot in the court. And what happens is they really start to double down and give the guards a hard time, and there's not a lot of outlets, right? So what do the Cavaliers do? They add Max Strauss, a sharpshooter from Miami. Now, if you look, Max Strauss has some really big games. He's a much better shooter, and he will give them spacing. To me, I believe he's going to start. You know, I can't start Isaac Okoro and say that I'm going to be a better team. And also, I think Caris LeVert, is a phenomenal sixth man. Sometimes, you know, he starts games if guys get hurt, but to me, he can be a sixth man because he likes to create. He loves to have the ball in his hands. And that's where I think he'll be. Again, I love the roster. Oh, and Jared Allen. Jared Allen also has to continue to grow and develop. But the swing player for the Cleveland Cavaliers is the power forward in Evan Mobley. He takes them where they need to go. Now, interesting enough, one last thing to note is that Donovan Mitchell has not signed an extension. And there is some rumors that he still wants to go to New York. So that's kind of a thing you got to keep your eye on. We'll monitor that as long. All right. All right, next we have the Detroit Pistons. Their win total is 27.5. Yes, you heard that right, 27.5. Let's start off with the most important thing. What is the team, who is the player on the on the Detroit Pistons that has to grow? If you ask me, it's Cade Cunningham. After missing a bunch of games last year to injury, he's back. When he did play, he averaged 19-9-6, you know, over 70 games. That is pretty close to being an all-star. Now, I don't think he's going to make the All-Star team just because I don't think this team is going to be good. But I think he is going to be really good. And I'm actually going to go see him in person. It's actually on my bucket list. Well, I'm going to make it happen. Cade Cunningham and also, y'all know my man, SGA, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. I'm going to see both of those guys in person. Now, I'm a little higher on the Pistons than other people. Now, listen, I'm not saying they make the playoffs. I'm not saying they're going to win 40 games. But I think they'll be better than what they did. So last year, one of the biggest joys to watch for the Pistons was Jalen Durant. You know, phenomenal rookie. Won't turn 20 until November 18th. Really good rebounder. Can hold picks and drive aggressively to the rim and has gravity as a pick and roll big because he goes to the rim with force. Phenomenal finisher. Phenomenal athlete. Super strong. Again, he's only 20. He's going to really fill into his body. He has good shoulder development, means his upper body is going to really fill out. He's already strong at 20. I think this kid's the stud, and he's probably going to be, to me, he's going to be the second and third best player. Now, Jaden Ivey is the guy that I do like him with Cade Cunningham. I'm a little concerned because there's some reports that he's coming off the bench, and I don't know how I feel about that. With him and Cade, you gotta think the games complement each other. Where Cade might be the greatest athlete, where Ivy is. Cade is more of a cerebral player, where Ivy is more of a, you know, up and down fast player. Kind of has a little bit of Westbrook in him. I'm big on Jaden Ivy. He was one of the few bright spots at certain times last year. Again, it's also important that this team has a new coach in Monty Williams. I think he's gonna help do that. You know, Monty kind of got a raw deal in Phoenix, you know. A lot of things went wrong, and he was like, once the new owner, I think the new owner kind of made him the fall guy. But that's all right, you know, because when one door closes, another door opens, and I think this is a phenomenal spot for him. Also, Monty Williams got paid a lot of money, so I don't think that the Pistons are expected to be as trash as other people did. Now, another thing that's really interesting for the Pistons is Asur Thompson. All right, the Thompson twins are absolute studs. One plays for Detroit. I believe the other one plays for the Rockets. Yo, I'm not going to lie to y'all. Asur Thompson before the end of this, excuse me, no. Asur Thompson by Christmas will be starting. Now, a lot of people were shaky about his three-point shot, but his three-point shot looks pretty solid. Again, it's a small sample size. The preseason doesn't mean much. But just his shot and his form and his follow-through and his consistency in it, I would make sure you keep your eye on Asur Thompson. I'm hopefully I'm pronouncing that name right. All right? They also added some veterans in Joe Harris and Monty Morris. I'm going to be 100% honest with you. Monty Morris is a solid guard, can shoot and defend. Joe Harris might be washed. He might not be. If he can shoot, that'll be good with Bogdan Bogdanovic. If he can't shoot, you know, I don't know. This team is going to be in the lottery. They won't be good, but I think they're going to win way more than 27. I'm going to have them winning over 30 games, you know. So, again, I love their over. I love the Pistons. I'm very excited about the Pistons. They're one of my teams that I'll be really looking forward to watching. I know that sounds funny to people because they weren't good last year. But again, the return of Cade Cunningham is going to be a real special sight to see. He's a really talented player on offense and defense, and I'm hoping that y'all get to see what I always saw in Cade Cunningham. All right? Y'all, oh, again, when it comes down to Cade Cunningham and Jalen Green, I'm all money in on Cade Cunningham. All right? Now, I don't think he'll win most improved because if he had a good rookie season, then you got hurt. And you come back the next season. I don't think most improved is really the character for you. But I just think that he's going to remind NBA fans how special he was and is. Next, we have the Indiana Pacers, right? So what's new for the Indiana Pacers? Money, 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 money. All right. 5 years worth up to $260 million. Now, who was that for? That's for one of my favorite players to watch, Tyrese Haliburton, a.k.a. Mr. Tennis is the Game. I have a couple of hot takes with Tyrese Haliburton. I won't give them now. That's for the Hot Take podcast on Monday. So I actually think a sneaky underrated value is kind of what they did this offseason to where as fast as the Pacers want to play, they got other guys that can play and kind of complement their system. Let me get into a little bit of detail. So one, even though they kind of overpaid, I don't believe in overpaying. You got to get who you got to get. So I want to remove that. They did sign Bruce Brown off the championship. Denver Nuggets, phenomenal guard that can do a lot of different things, can hit open shots, can defend, can attack the rim, really improved his game. Now, remember, when he was in Brooklyn, he played a lot of small ball four where he was the dive man. I don't think he wants to do that anymore, but it's going to be good on his team when he plays in transition. Very high finisher at the rim. Again, solid in transition, very fast. I love that. Then you get Obi Toppin. So I'm going to be honest with Obi Toppin. I don't want to say the B word. I don't think he was a bust because a bust to me is a guy that can't play basketball in the NBA level. Like, you just can't play at this level and you stink. That's what a bust is. With Obi Toppin, you got drafted and the player that's the highest paid player on the team played your position and y'all couldn't coexist together. That player was Julius Randle, right? So it's tough for Obi in New York because a lot of times he was just a spot up shooter when he's a lot more than that. He's athletic. He can get to the rim, and whatever game he has, we're going to see how much of a game he has on this team. Now, one player that has to take the big leap for the Indiana Pacers is Benedict Mandarim, explosive guard from Quebec, right? Really good, has to improve as a shooter, defense, shot selection. But, I like him. I believe in him. I think the Pacers are going to reach the... I think they're going to be right near that play-in tournament game, right? Now, listen, a couple other things. They got a lot of free agents coming up, right? Buddy Hield, who is actually looking to get traded. Aaron Nesmith, Obi Toppin, who I just talked about. Jordan Nahuwa, who had a really good underrated season last year. Bruce Bowen has a team option. Jalen Smith, Isaiah Wong, Oscar Tshiebwe and Kendall Brown, right? Since they didn't get an extension with Buddy Hield, they're going to look to trade him sooner rather than later. Averaging 16.8 points and 42.5% from the three-point shot, Buddy Hield could really help some teams, all right? So we'll see. Now, let's get into my favorite thing. Win total with the Indiana Pacers is 38.5. I'm going to take the over. So here's the thing with the Pacers. They play zero defense, right? But I like them. They play fast. They play fun. They play free. And if you do not bring it, they'll have it. Now, again, there's one player I didn't talk about. It's probably Miles Turner. I'm going to need more consistency from Miles Turner. And, again, he has a chance to be an all-star because he's going to get the ball a ton. And playing with Halliburton, he's going to really flourish sometimes, right? So it's important for them, the guys, to grow together. Remember before that, at one point, Miles Turner did request a trade. He was very unhappy with the team. Things kind of fluctuated. It got a little better for him. So I like Indiana. And, again, 38.5, I'm going to respectfully take the over. I'm excited about this team. I think that at the end of the season, they're going to probably finish top five in pace. Possessions, I think they're going to finish top five in. I think they're going to be top 10 in three-point attempts. Again, I think this team is going to play fast, jack up a ton of threes. They're going to be fun to watch. Again, when you have teams like the Indiana Pacers that are building something, as long as you have a direction. Now, I am not a fan of Rick Adelman at all. It's probably one of my least favorite coaches, but they played solid last year. And again, got to give credit where credit is due. This is a fair podcast. He played well. We'll see if they continue to do that. All right. They got a lot of guys like Jalen Smith who had some shining moments. A lot of in-between guys. So it's going to be serious and of guys that stand out. All right. Let's keep it moving. I hope you all are enjoying these short previews. I'm going to probably do all of these teams today. So I'm probably keep each team about 4 minutes. So I'm hoping you all enjoy this. All right. So let's keep it moving. Next, we have the Miami Heat. And they have a win total of 45.5. So the Miami Heat are probably the most confusing team to me because they're such a Jekyll and Hyde team. It's such a team that kind of plays up to competition every year in the Eastern Conference Finals or the NBA Finals. Making the NBA Finals as many times as they did with the roster that they did and beating the Celtics and taking the Celtics to a Game 7. It's absolutely crazy. I don't understand this team. So I'm going to... It's weird because, like, they're good and they're going to play hard and they still have guys that can improve. And Bam Adebayo, he has to continue to grow as a scorer and he has to be aggressive in shots. He has to take 18 to 20 shots a game in order for his game to grow. Mid-range shooting, one or two dribbles to the rim. Again, he really improved as a passer. It's one of his really bright spots playing in the pinch post. But he's the biggest guy. He's a swing player. He's going to improve him. Again, Jimmy Butler in the regular season, I'm not going to say he coasted, but... He plays a pretty even game, you know, have 22, probably 4-4, really good defense. Again, for me, what Jimmy Butler is, in order for his game to grow, he has to rekindle that three-point shot. Now, sometimes in playoff games last year, we saw that he had these big scoring outbursts, and that was just, you know, aggressive going to the rim. But to me, Jimmy's getting older, too. I want him to see him shoot again. He was at one point a really solid shooter again when he was with the Bulls. He had a little jump shot. He still does. Very good mid-range shooter. Very good free throw shooter. But I want to see Jimmy to continue to grow his game, right? Very unserious with his new haircut. Don't have much to say about that. Live your best life, bro. All right, so what's new with the Miami Heat? Couple things. So one, the... Miami Heat loses Max Strauss and Gabe Vincent, two guys that really helped his team go to the finals. And remember, both of these guys had really big games in the finals. And, you know, one time it was Gabe Vincent with five threes. And it was Max Strauss with five threes. They really were swing role players that can kind of change the outcome of the game with their shot. They used a first-round pick on Jamie Jaquez, right? A swing man who had a solid preseason in the summer league. I don't know how much he's going to play. They also did re-sign Kevin Love. Now, to me, Kevin Love is at the end of his career, but on this team, he can be very effective with his passing, his outlet passing. I don't know how much rebounding you're going to get. He is not a defensive player, so they always got to cover for him. So maybe he'll be playing with Bam a lot. He'll also be playing center by himself, right? Now, to me, again, it's Bam. A couple other people will say Nikolai Jovic, not Jokic, Nikolai Jovic, right? He's a rookie last year that kind of had a really good, you know, some moments. He'll play too. But again, we got to talk about Mr. Trade You. All right. That's Tyler Hero. All right. after basically saying that his bags were packed because he thought he was going to Portland for Damian Lillard, he doesn't get traded. Again, he might get traded in a couple of months because you never know with the Miami Heat. But, you know, Tyler Hero to me is going to be really, really good. I'm not the biggest Hero fan. I think he's solid. I think he's like a B-minus player. But for the Heat, you know, they need him. They need his scoring. They need his offense. They need his creativity, his three-point shot. He is going to be a breath of fresh air, all right? They were not good without him. They are better with him, all right? That is facts. Kyle Lowry probably shouldn't be starting, right? Again, I'm not Eric Spoelstra, so I can't tell him what to do with the team. But Kyle Lowry, you know, has some moments. I'm not the biggest Kyle Lowry fan. Again, phenomenal career, great player, North Philadelphia in the building. We'll see what they do. Now, listen, they got a lot of free agents coming, so remember, Miami can always make moves. Check this out, y'all. Kyle Lowry, Caleb Daniels, Kevin Love, Haywood Highsmith, Justin Champagne, Thomas Bryant, Jamal Kane, Jameer Boye, Josh Richardson. Wow, he's actually back on Miami. That's crazy. Drew Smith, Cole Swindler, and Aldeles Williams. All right. Now, with Lowry entering his final year of that deal, he's going to have some cap space and they're going to have some moves they want to make. The other thing about the Heat that I got to talk about was kind of overplaying your hand. Between the Heat and Damian Lillard's agent, I just think it was mission failed, right? Damian Lillard should have been in Miami. And if Damian Lillard is Miami, Miami will be my favorite to win the NBA championship. I'll talk about who I think is going to win on the Hot Take podcast, but they just dropped the ball. Whether it's Pat Riley kind of, you know, oh, we don't want to give up this or we don't want to give up that. When you have Jimmy Butler, when you have Bam Adebayo and a team that, to me, kind of overshoots how good they are every year, and you add a player like Dame, you make everybody else's job so much easier. So it was so frustrating to me, to whether it was a first-round pick or unprotected picks. Yo, whatever Portland was asking for, you should have did it, man, because now you're running with the same team. And again, the one thing I'll give Miami credit for is that they'll be there in the end. They're going to make the second round of the playoffs. You know, with their win total, they'll be up and down in the regular season. I'm going to probably take their over just because I don't want to be against their sides, but we'll see, right? All right, y'all, let's keep it moving. Next, we have the Milwaukee Bucks. They have a win total of 54.5. That is really high, but unfortunately, I got to take the over, man. I'm all money in with this team. I've said it before, I'll say it again. I think they're going to be absolutely phenomenal. I don't worry about the defense as much as other people because I still think their defense is good. You got to remember when you have Giannis in the paint with Brooke Lopez, Bobby Portis is your third big, you still can guard the paint, right? I am a little worried about Chris Middleton. Did have knee surgery towards the beginning of the season. I don't think he's going to be ready to start the season. I could be wrong. But again, he was really bad last year, and kind of the problem that Jrue Holiday had was kind of being overextended last year. And I think Jrue Holiday kind of wore down as the season went on. So I'm looking for my man, Chris Middleton, to have a bounce back season. But forget all that. I want to talk about something real quick. Freak time. Bleacher Report, a couple of really good blogs that are verified. I haven't seen ESPN, but Freak Time. That is his horrible nickname given to Damian Lillard and Giannis, right? Giannis being the Greek freak and Dame using the Dame Time kind of tapping on his wrist signal. Let me tell you something right now. Freak Time is the worst nickname for two great players in NBA history. It's absolutely dog trash, right? It's lazy. It's uninspiring. Again, these are two very strong personalities, strong-willed people, strong, talented players. You can find a better name than Freak Time. I mean, you just had to wake up and be like, yo, what are we going to name him to? You know, just name him Freak Time. And again, I don't think either one of these guys have co-signed it, so I'm not going to keep talking about it, but I got to say that, man. I got to be honest with y'all, right? So again, back to Dame. The 33-year-old finally plays on a championship team. As y'all know, for a long time, the last 2 years, I've been begging Damian Lillard to be the bad guy. And in a sense, what I meant by that is to demand a trade because Portland peaked. You know, after making the Western Conference Finals and kind of, you know, fighting, and once they traded CJ McCollum, that was it for Portland, all right? A lot of role players that were growing, kind of, you know, Mo Harkless and some other guys, they kind of peaked, and as a team kind of, you know, moved on and moved forward, they just found themselves not as being as good as they used to be. And then you had a season like last year to where Dame himself had a phenomenal year. But then you had Portland tanking, and it was reported that Portland asked Dame to sit the last 10 games because of a quote-unquote calf injury. Now, Dame said he could have played there, but Portland wanted to get a draft pick. Here's the other part, right? Portland wanted to get the draft pick to use as a trade chip to get a veteran, but they didn't do that. They drafted Scottie Henderson, props to them, right? But again, there was some dishonesty with Dame, and once Dame did that, to me, that was the nail in the coffin. And it was Dame was very hesitant for the last year and a half. Again, it's a little bit of a tangent, but this is important. He was very hesitant for the last year and a half to kind of request a trade. He was kind of like talking around it, but he didn't really say it specifically, right? But I love this team, right? With Damian Lillard, Adrian Griffin is a first-time head coach for the Milwaukee Bucks. A kind of an interesting story the other day. So this is by The Athletic. Adrian Griffin, Terry Scotts, if y'all remember, Portland's old head coach Terry Scotts was an assistant coach on the Milwaukee Bucks. And he resigned the other day. And there was a little bit of an incident to where practice was over and the offense went, the players went to kind of finish around practice. And the coaches, he called the coaches over, right? And it was believed to reported that, you know, Terry Scotts ran over and said, I just want to talk to Dame and Giannis about something. And Adrian Griffin called him over and he said, yeah, give me 1 second. And he yelled at him. Now, the context with this is Adrian Griffin is a younger coach. He is a black guy. So, I'm rooting for all coaches that's black. But the context is that Terry Stotts is a very proud and successful head coach, you know. So, one, I think it's a little bit tough. I think he was kind of being there kind of as a mentor to help him by still having a pretty good role on the team. But the other thing is, if you look at Terry Stotts and as much as he accomplished, he probably like, yo, man, I'm cool, bro. You know, and he resigned. Now, Adrian Griffin said he didn't comment too much on why, but to me, that's probably the nail in the coffin. Hopefully, he does say something about it, and hopefully, he comes back to the league. I am a fan of his offensive game. You know, his teams defensively weren't no good, but, you know, the NBA needs Terry Stotts, man, so I hope he finds a landing spot for him. But back to this team. I love this team. I love the Bucks. I think they'll be good. You know, Holiday's limitations offensively and the burden he had with Middleton, you know who can pick up that burden? Damian Lillard. Now, a lot of people saying, well, Holiday isn't the defender that Dame isn't the defender that Holiday is. And I agree with that. Also not worried. That's cool. We're going to outscore you. Again, let's imagine a pick and roll with Dame at the top of the key and Giannis, right? You can have Brook Lopez at the corner. You can have Middleton at the other corner. You can have Pat Connaughton next to him. And you tell me who you're going to help off of. Whoever you do is going to have a wide open shot. I love this team to play faster. With Giannis, again, he's so good that he'll, no matter what, he'll still average like 28 and 13, you know, be a top five MVP candidate. Giannis' footwork don't look like it got a lot better in the offseason. And I'm not saying that he didn't work, but sometimes he gets a little happy feet and he travels down there. In the preseason, it's been a little ugly. So hopefully less is more. To me, you know, he has a hook shot. To me, maybe just a drop step on a right hook, leg hook. You don't need to do the Hakeem Olajuwon moves. Again, those are highly advanced level post moves. You don't need to do all that. You just need to do fundamentally sound moves and have good footwork, right? Let's continue. So we talk about the player that needs to take the biggest leap. I talked about it before. I'll say it again. It is Christopher with a K, Middleton. All right. He's in his 12th season now, and it's not about a leap, but again, 15 points per game off of 43.6 field goal shooting in 33 games. That's really bad for a really good NBA player, right? And so I love this team. You have Middleton that can kind of lead second lineups. At all times, you'll have a Middleton. You'll have a Dame. You'll have a Giannis on the court. I love this team. Upcoming free agents, they also did add Malik Beasley, wing shooter from the Lakers who kind of got buried once he stopped playing defense. Never was a great defender, but they need the shooting, and I think he'll be good on this team. I love this team. To me, this will be one of the four best teams in the league. You know, I know people talk about defense, but I feel like there's only like four or five teams that can exploit them. Okay, some teams might get off on Dame, but you're not getting in the paint. And if you do get in the paint, you're going to struggle to get in the paint. And I still think they'll cover for him with their schematic scheme. So I'm all money in. I love Portland. They're probably my favorite team. I'm taking a win total 54, 55, 56. I think they might be the best team in the East, but I will talk about that on Monday. Yeah, I'm all in on Portland. Excuse me. I'm all in on Milwaukee. I keep saying Portland. I'm sorry, yo. All right, so let's keep it moving. Next, we have the Washington Wizards, right? And so the Washington Wizards have a total of 24.5. All right, so this is kind of interesting. Washington has two good players that'll have really good years, that have some very great, exciting games, but the team isn't good. But individually, Jordan Poole and Kyle Kuzma should put up some, I would say, some video game numbers at times. You'll see some triple doubles in there. Even in the preseason, Jordan Poole went for 40. I'm going to be 100% honest with y'all. Trading Chris Paul for Jordan Poole, to me, will go down. I won't say one of the worst trades ever, because even at his advanced age, Chris Paul can still pass. He's still a high IQ player, and just making the game a little bit easier for Steph, that's more than enough, right? Again, 24.5. I think this team stinks, man. But they can score, and they got some talent. You know, they lose Kristaps Porzingis. They add Jordan Poole. I love Jordan Poole. I think that's a great building block to have. Again, after winning a championship and unfortunately getting punched in the face, he kind of had the worst year possible. But I can't put that all on him, because he got punched in the face by a teammate that put on a green suit and went on tour. All that happened, right? And I'm never getting over that. And then your coach, Steve Kerr, again, tangent, I apologize, said, "Yo, do you think I should discipline Draymond Green?" Jordan Poole says, "No, they don't discipline him." What other profession does a guy punch a coworker and not get suspended? It was the worst mismanaged team. They tried to act like it wasn't a distraction. Towards the end of the season, Poole wouldn't even look or talk to Draymond. All right? So they had to do what they had to do. And Mike Dunleavy, the new GM, he made a decision, right? I don't like that decision. I think you could have got more value for Poole. Me personally, I wouldn't have kept Draymond Green, but I get why you do keep him, because he's your longer tenured player, and you do want to see the Warriors finish this thing out. All right, back to Washington, 24.5, I'm taking the under. Again, Jordan Poole will have a phenomenal year. He'll probably win most improved. He'll probably average 27 points. We'll see about them assists, man. Them assists going to have to get up, because he can create for others, but he's going to look to Poole, man. He's going to have great games, and he's going to have bad games. Him and Kuzma will have nights where they both have 30, and they'll probably lose in heartbreaking fashion. This team isn't good, right? This team isn't good. But they got some good young players on it, so it's like a give and take, right? All right, so a couple of other things. This team has been a major overhaul, and back to Kyle Kuzma, averaged a career-high 21.2 points per game, right? Resigned 4 years, $90 million. Again, they're lacking size, they're lacking star power, but they do have some talent. Again, Johnny Davis was a rookie from Wisconsin, didn't get any burn, 62 minutes through 67 games. That's as low as minutes you can get. They got to find out if he can play, all right? He was a first-round pick. He was high. The Wizards are not making the playoffs. They're not making the play-in game. They stink, stink. But good for the NBA, it will be exciting to watch, you know? So a little Jekyll Hyde. So I'm not buying the Wizards. I am buying all Jordan Poole stock. Let me get it now. Again, I know it'll be ups and downs this season, but I'm buying Jordan Poole stock and I'm keeping it. Denny Adnavai, they got some okay guys here. I'm not in love with their guy. And that wraps up the Eastern Conference. So let's move on to the West side. Let's move on to the Western Conference, y'all. All right. All right. So our first team in the Western Conference of the NBA, let's start at the top. Let's go with the Denver Nuggets, have an over of 52.5. This is tough, right? Because the world champions, they have the best starting five in the NBA. They have a lot of young guys. Nikola Jokic and Jamal Williams are at their peaking power. They're perfectly complement each other, right? I love this team. I love Denver. I do think the first month of the season, they'll start off a little slow. You know, sometimes championship guys are doing the victory lap, again, as they should, not knocking it. I think they start off a little bit slow. They have the Lakers open tonight, so that'll be a great test of how ready are the Nuggets to win again. And again, it's from a perspective point of view. It's different when you're, you know, chomping at the bit, you're trying to become the champion, then you are the champion, and then they're coming for you. Right. And so that perspective will be a lot different. Teams are going to be gunning for him, man. They're going to be playing for him. And it'll be interesting to see what will happen. So How far can the Nuggets go? Well, they won a chip. They can win a chip again. Again, I can't take their under. I can't. They're the champions. They have a great team. Aaron Gordon, Nikola Jokic, Jamal Murray, Michael Porter Jr., the best starting five in the NBA. Michael Porter Jr. should continue to grow as a three-point shooter and a rebounder. Defensively, listen, long as you play with effort, you're good with me. Jokic, he'll continue to get better. He was phenomenal last year. Jamal Murray, too. I love this team, man. I love this team. I do. They won't be no worse than third-best team in the NBA, so I can't take their under a 52. Even if I do believe that they're going to start off the season slow, which they might. They might. But I'm not worried about it. So, but one thing I am worried about is some of these free agents. So, Kentavious Caldwell-Pope is a starter for them. He's an upcoming free agent. A couple other guys, Justin Holiday, Reggie Jackson, who didn't get too many minutes, DeAndre Jordan, Braxton Key, and Zeke Najah. All right. So the most important business next summer will be Murray, who's under contract until 24-25 to sign a contract extension. Now, we do also expect Caldwell Pope to decline his player option, which is at $15.4 million. He had a really good year and a really good playoff. So you're looking for him to get a payday. And Denver, even though he played a lot of people, they're going to have to pay him too. All right. Again, I don't think this team will be number one, but they will be no worse than third. And again, if their over is 52, I will happily take the over. All right. This team, when they got to the finals and played Miami, the gap was pretty big, right? Again, for all the talk that the Lakers are doing, the Lakers got swept, right? And it was kind of funny because Jokic was the pretty much the clear-cut MVP through the first half of the season. In the second half of the season, Denver kind of fell off. They was a little bit shaky. They weren't winning games as much. They were losing to some teams they weren't supposed to lose. And they kind of took it easy in the second half and just kind of revved up right at the right time, right before the playoffs, and they took off. So again, albeit for me to tell them teams what not to do, but I'm all money in on Denver. I still think they're a great team. Mike Malone has been doing a lot of yapping, and I cannot wait for the first game of the season versus the Lakers. But again, 52 for the over for the Nuggets, I'm in. Let's keep it moving. I want to start to run through some of these because I don't want to hold y'all for too long. I don't want this podcast to be like 3 hours. So we have the Phoenix Suns at 51.5. This is probably the toughest one for me, right? When you add Devin Booker, Kevin Durant, and Bradley Beal, you probably have three of the best creator passer. You got, they're going to perfectly mesh together. Now, the rest of the roster, I'm not too sure about. But that roster alone is going to just dog walk a lot of teams. So 51.5, it'll be interesting. Now, the other thing is, I'm not the biggest fan of Yusuf Nurkic. I'll be honest with y'all. Again, I know DeAndre Ayton dogged it, and too many times we had to question his motor, and why do we have to question the motor of a player that was drafted number one overall, right? Right. But with all that being said, it's going to be kind of tough for me to go against him. When you add Bradley Beal to a Kevin Durant and Devin Booker team that lost to the Nuggets, you add another scorer, right? You have another creator, another ball handler, and again, as I talked about it before with other teams with multiple stars, you have a starter that plays 48 minutes, right? How far can Phoenix go? Phoenix can go as far as they want. In order for them to win, they need to finish top three in offensive rating. It's also a sneaky thing that Durant, Beal, and Booker, they shoot a lot of mid-range shots. Now, I don't think they should just be a chucking three-point shooting team because you have to play up to your skill set. But it's important for all those guys to have a high volume of threes while still being aggressive and search all the shots that they practice for game in and game out, right? As far as the Suns, I don't know. I won't talk about how far they go in my season podcast, my season preview. I have that for the hot take podcast about, you know, who wins each division, who wins the championship. All that'll be for Monday. But back to the Suns and their win total. You know, it's kind of tough. 51.5. It's like they're right there. I'm going to take the under. I love this team, right? And I think they'll play well. But again, Durant's going to really have to rebound. Nurkic has to A, stay healthy, and B, are we not sure he's not washed? Now, I'm going to say this. When you have DeAndre Ayton that doesn't play hard and just kind of checked out and, you know, was going at it with Monty Williams, James Jones, the GM for the Suns, he had to make a decision, right? And so he made one. But I'm not the biggest Nurkic guy. And more importantly, the rest of their roster is pretty shaky, you know? So you're going to really have to overextend a lot of times your big Now, I can be dead wrong, but for the Suns, their role players are going to have to be everything for them. Grayson Allen is a guy I do like. I know a lot of people was like, you know, Bill Simmons had talked about he's not good in the playoffs. You don't really need to worry about the playoffs for right now with this team. You need to worry about guys that can give you 15 to 20 minutes. And Allen is a good defensive player, good enough shooter. He'll be on that floor and he'll help them. Let's talk. Bobo. Listen, I know Bobo has all the talent in the world. I don't know how much time he'll get, honestly. We'll see. Eric Gordon is probably one of the best six men that they're going to need. Going to be versatile. He'll help with a lot of guard depth on their team. Damian Lee is a solid shooter. Josh Okogie, hashtag know your role player. So to me, obviously, just the health is the biggest thing with those Suns because all three of those guys get hurt. But if you want to look for a role player that's going to really help swing this team, is Josh Okogie. Now, he's only 6'4", but he plays bigger than that, and he's a really good rebounder. He doesn't need the ball, and he plays with great energy and plays solid defense. Those last three attributes that I named are everything that the Suns need. Again, we'll see how much they get out of the center position. I'm not too sure about it, but I like this team. Yusef Nurkic is only 29. I don't know. He gets hurt a lot. He can let me talk good about Nurkic. He can pass. He can rebound. He's a smart cerebral player, and he won't overextend himself about doing things he won't do. And he'll bring it every night. You know, you don't have to worry about him. He'll bring it. Whatever he got, he'll give to you, right? And so you'll take and ask yourself, is that good enough to help them win? Now, I'm really constructive. I'm really tough with the Suns because I love the team. They're going to win games. They're going to play fast. They're going to blow a lot of teams out. But it's like they're going to struggle at times. And it's like, how good of a rebounding are they going to be? How much is Kevin Durant going to be willing to rebound, right? They're going to play small ball a lot. How much does Kevin Durant want to play the five? I'm not ever doubting his skill and can he do these things. Of course he can, and he probably will. But I'm just saying, how long until the machine starts going? Now, they have a great test playing the Warriors open tonight. I'll talk about that more on Monday. But I don't know. I'm back and forth from the over and the under. It's at a perfect number. But all right, I'm changing my mind. I'm taking the over. I can't go against this team. I can't go against that much talent. I'm taking the over for the Suns win total. Next, we have the Dallas Mavericks, all right? So if we look at the Dallas Mavericks win total, they are, if I can find them, here we go, 45.5. I'm taking the under. So I just read a report that Luka has a calf injury, and it said no timeline, not clear to play, not ready to play. The season starts Tuesday. Their season starts Wednesday. Now, I could be wrong. That could have been a hoax, but if that's true, they're in some big trouble. All right, so here we go. This is a good official report to kind of helping us. So Mark Stein, one of the best writers we have, says Luka has been ruled out for the final preseason game. He is expected to be ready for the opener on Wednesday versus the San Antonio Spurs. He says the Mavericks have ruled him out, but coach Jason Kidd termed Luka's calf strain mild after the MRI, optimistic that he'll be returning for the regular season. Also, Jaden Hardy was out. All right, so here's the thing with the Suns. Their win total is 45.5. I love Luka. I love Kyrie, right? Yo, it sucks too, man, because I really want to, like, I don't mind going being a contrarian, y'all. I don't mind going against and just standing on any pick. But if I have to be honest, with this roster and this team, and, you know, Jason Kidd can get a little shaky sometimes. So let's just kind of get into this roster and his role players and what changed. For some reason, no matter what happens in life, Seth Curry and Kyrie Irving will always wind up being teammates. It's the funniest thing. All right. What changed for this team? Well, the big offseason signing slash trade was Grant Williams, right? And what Grant Williams can provide them was a little bit of some toughness, some three-point shooting, some defensive versatility, some rebounding. We'll see as much as his game can grow. We'll be able to see it because they're really going to need the services. You know, the wings is really going to need help, and Grant Williams is going to get as much as time to shine as he wants. Markieff Morris also comes over with Kyrie Irving. You know, they have a bunch of okay guys. Jaden Hardy had a really good season last year. I look for him to improve. Rashawn Holmes is a very good backup power forward if he can get back to what he was a couple of years ago. Josh Green, also a young player that had some really big moments last year. And so overall, when I look at this team, you have Kyrie and Luka. Yo, they're going to do whatever they want, and they'll score and score in bunches. But I don't love the others. You know, I don't. You know, before being center or, you know, backup guards, I just don't love this team, and I'm not in on them. I'm sorry. You know, in order for me to buy into this team, one, Luka has to stay healthy, and his Aria injury concerns now. But two, I don't love what they're doing at the center position. Again, there are other guys available. If they can make a trade for a center, like Robert Williams or Clint Capella or something else, maybe I could buy a little bit more Maverick stock. But as currently predicted, I don't know. Again, back to Grant Williams. Listen, defensive versatility, three-point shooting, they're going to really need him, all right? How far can the Mavericks go? Even though I don't like them to win over 46 games, they will make the playoffs. I still think they'll beat enough bad teams. Again, here's the thing. Let's say they go 500 versus teams that are 10 wins or better, 5 wins or better. To me, this is still clear all these bad teams. But then you got to worry about injuries with Kyrie and Luka. You can't really depend on those guys. You know, Kyrie is determined to have a great year. He's talked about leadership. He's talked about availability. He's talked about dependability. These are all big qualities with Kyrie in question. And as much as every year we do the Kyrie mixtape and Kyrie's better than Steph, yo, Kyrie keeps getting on team to team. Somebody as talented and as great as him should not be team hopping as much. They should have one place and things should change around them. They shouldn't be the change, right? And so with Kyrie, stability is such a big thing for him and for this Mavericks team. Again, he'll have a great year. I think he'll be phenomenal, man. But I think Luka will be phenomenal. I think they'll play together. But I just don't like this team. And again, I'm not the biggest Jason Kidd fan. So I'm not buying in, I'm not buying Dallas. I'm sorry. I'm all out on Dallas. I'm taking it under. Next, we have the Golden State Warriors. They have a win total projected of 48.5. That's kind of a consistent number. Wow, this is tough, man. I love the Warriors. We don't know how many years left we'll have of Steph, Klay, and Draymond. So I want to just first by saying how much of a joy it is to watch these guys play, right? And that's important to say because you're not going to see three top players play for as long as they have with these roles in the NBA today, right? Guys are going to move. They're going to go to different situations. They're going to want more for themselves. So we're kind of seeing like something that's not going to be here forever. So, you know, I talked about earlier about the dysfunctionalism with the Warriors, with Draymond Green and the punch and how I kind of really wore the team down. I do not like the Warriors trade that they did. I think it's going to stink. Now, with that being said, Chris Paul is still a professional. And even in the preseason, he's helped Steph Curry get some easy shots. And there's been a little bit more off the ball movement with Curry and Klay. And, you know, listen, Chris Paul can still make, as old as he is, any pass, right? He can still hit open shots. The thing with Chris Paul is he cannot stay healthy, right? Again, he's going to bring a ton of savvy and a ton of experience, but it's like finding the right role, right? And then this other weird thing was like, yo, man, Chris Paul might start. So who's going to the bench, right? Chris Paul does not need to start. He needs to come off the bench, need to be the sixth man. Again, I'm not saying that he shouldn't play with the starters. He'll have plenty of minutes in throughout 48 minutes of the game where he can be super effective, right? Mike Dunley is the new man in charge replacing Bob Myers, who left by a mutual decision. To me, Bob Myers basically left because he didn't want to make this Klay Thompson decision. And with these older Warriors, you're going to make some really uncomfortable moves. And he said it himself on ESPN Countdown. It's kind of one of the reasons why he left. Now, if y'all been watching the preseason, it's two things. One, the preseason mean nothing because it literally doesn't count. But two, it means everything if you see a glimmer of hope, right? And I say that to say Jonathan Kuminga has been hooping. Aggressive. He has been shooting threes. He's been rebounding. A really cool thing. Remember last year that Andrew Wiggins was grabbing a ton of rebounds. So Andrew Wiggins has free reign at any time to crash the offensive glass. You know who else has that now? Jonathan Kuminga. Now, I got a little hot take. I'll give it now. To me, Jonathan Kuminga is as close as you get to the starter that has to play 30-plus minutes a game. So it's going to be kind of tough with these minutes, right? And when I look at the Warriors, it's two guys that I need to get more from, right? So the guy that must take the big league was Kuminga, but the other guy is Andrew Wiggins. Now, Wiggins has kind of really embraced the role. He's been like a 3-and-D player, like kind of the Harrison Barnes role. But he's a lot better than Harrison Barnes, and he can do more. When the Warriors need more rebounding, guess who I'm going to say? He needs a rebounder. When the Warriors need more scoring, guess who I'm going to say? Andrew Wiggins can score more. I'm always going to ask him to do more because, again, he was the number one overall pick, and he's kind of playing within a role. That role can also be expanded. And when you have the veterans like Draymond, Steph, and Klay, you need other guys to step up. And again, the two young guys is Wiggins and Kuminga. Those are going to have to be your horses, right? You know, Dario Saric was a guy from the Sixers, a really good power forward. Who was a center now because he's kind of slowed down a little bit. Really good passer, solid three-point shooter. I think this is the best system and best team he's going to been on since the Sixers, right? And the reason why I say that is when Dario Saric was on the Sixers, he finished second in rookie of the year. He had the ball. He created for others. He could play in transition. He could do a lot of things. And unfortunately, when he went to Phoenix, one, he got hurt and tore his ACL. But when he went to Phoenix, they didn't play to his strengths, man. He kind of was just out there hustling and, you know, just making the best of his situation. But the Warriors, with their passing and with their offense, I think it's the perfect fit. And I really think Dario Saric will be a great bench piece for the Warriors, right? So we go back to the win totals I talked about before in 48.5. This is the hardest pick I have to make of any of the teams because I absolutely love and respect these veterans. And I also think Jordan Poole, as much as bail that I give him, he was bad last year. And even in the playoffs, he was borderline unplayable. That is no longer there. Other guys should step up. So it's tough. 48.5. I'm going to take the under. So here's the thing. I think the Warriors would be good. I think the playoffs, they can still beat anybody. 48.5 is a lot. I don't think they're going to... Oh, man. I go back and forth on it. I'm kind of even, but I'm going to take a slight under in 48.5. I want to take the over, but I can't. You know, again, Chris Paul has to stay healthy. We have to see Kevin Looney stay healthy, who's a big role player for them. Hashtag know your role player. If all those things do work out, I do like the Warriors' chips and pieces. I do think they have much better role players than they do. And I think they'll be better last year because it's not going to be a cloud over their team, you know? I'm in on the Warriors. I want to make sure I say that clear. I do think they want to be the final eight teams that have a chance to really win an NBA championship. But I'm out on their win total. Next, we have the Houston Rockets. Their win total is 31.5. So the biggest addition for the Houston Rockets are a couple of things. But it's not a player, it's a coach. It's Ime Udoka. I'm not pronouncing that right. I'm really sorry. Ime Udoka. All right. Again, I think that's a little bit wrong. I'm really sorry. I got the guy's name right all the time. Anyway, the big offseason acquisition was Dillon Brooks. Now, a lot of y'all can be laughing after I said that, but it's really good for a team that was unserious and uncommitted to defense to have some player that plays serious and play committed to defense. It's called a philosophy change, all right? And what Dillon Brooks and Ime Udoka bring is defensive aggression, defensive awareness, defensive intensity. I'm not the biggest Dillon Brooks guy. But again, in the NBA, where we have to work, make guys play and question how hard guys play sometimes, I like Dillon Brooks, right? And I only like him because he goes at people. He don't got no picks. I think he'll be improved. He's going to have a ton of... We're going to see how good of a shooter he is, right? Because he's going to have a ton of open looks, man. Like, if you're looking for a guy to help off of, I'm helping off of him. You know, we saw how he really struggled in the playoffs and how kind of, you know, he really had some bad moments. But I don't think he was the fall guy for Memphis. But back to the Rockets. The biggest swing player for the Rockets and who's going to have to step up for them, it's not Dillon Brooks. It's Jabari Smith. Jabari Smith, to me, is their best player. And I know people are going to kill me because they're like, yo, Jalen Green. But Jabari Smith, as a scorer, as a rebounder, as his approach to the game, I just think his game will be the easiest to translate into kind of an offensive hub, right? They got a lot of talent on this team, right? I actually like the Rockets roster a lot. I really do. Sengun, a lot of people call him Baby Jokic. I necessarily wouldn't go that far. But he's really good. He's a phenomenal passer. There is actually some reports that Alex Sengun is close to 6'11". Now, if that is actually true, that's absolutely insane. Now, you have to ask yourself, as far as this roster, who's going to step up and who's going to do what. So let's talk about the roster for a second. Again, Jalen Green, I expect to improve. Dillon Brooks, he's going to start. Also, the biggest news and the biggest free agent acquisition was Frederik Van Vliet, all right? Now, a lot of people were like, well, they paid Fred Van Vliet too much money. Shut up, all right? Shout out to Meta. With Fred Van Vliet, it's not about the money. It's only a three-year contract, so the money is an issue. But what he is bringing is more stability. Again, Fred Van Vliet, a lot of people talk about his shooting percentage and, oh, well, when he was on their team and the second-best player, he didn't do much. Well, one, he shouldn't have to be the second-best player on the team. Two, defensive intensity. Three, organization. He is a good point guard. He's really good at creating for others. Again, his assist will be fine. I think he'll be really good. So here's the thing with the Rockets. I buy their team, I buy their stock, I buy their coach, I buy their players. But here's the thing. When you remember when Emi Udoka went to the Celtics, they struggled out the gate. You know, the Celtics, even with struggling out the gate, got a lot more talent and got a lot higher ceiling to start from than the Rockets. And so my only concern about the Houston Rockets is, not my only concern, one, when you're changing everything, it takes time, right? And it's going to take time, and I don't think they're going to be good to start the season. I think towards the January, you know how January, the Rockets kind of like really pick up and Jalen Green starts having these scoring binges? I think January, the Rockets are really improved. I'm going to have a little bit of a hot take here. I'm going to actually take the Rockets over, but I'm going to sweat this one out because they're going to struggle for the first couple of months. Now, I could be wrong, and it could be a situation where they really struggle the first year, and the second year they take off. But the way I see Emi Udoka and the way I see his team and his talent, I'm going to buy him. There's another Thompson brother for him. His name is Amen Thompson. These guys are studs. They both play hard. He plays hustle. J.C. Ante, Jabari Smith, Alperen Sengun, not Alex Sengun. I like this team, man. They got really good. They got shooters. They got young guys that can develop. They have veterans. They also added Jeff Green, you know, hashtag know your role player. I like the Rockets team. So I know this is crazy, but I'm going to take the win total. I'm going to take the over. And that number, again, was 31.5. I'll happily take the over. Again, I'm going to sweat that out because they're going to struggle at first. But towards the end of the season, I think the Rockets will really be an improved team. And I think Emi Udoka is going to flex a little bit about how much improvement this team made over a year. Again, last year, they're horrible defensively. All right, let's keep it moving, y'all. I want to start to burn through some of these because we are getting close to the end. I apologize. This will probably be the longest pod of the season, but I just want to make sure y'all got enough information to go with y'all. I want y'all to be taken care of, and your boy got you, all right? So let's talk about the Los Angeles Clippers. They have a total of 46.5. I'm going to be 100% honest with y'all. I love their players. I love this team. And I want to be wrong about them. All right, so it's two. The Clippers are the ultimate, like, double-edged team to where, you know, we have Paul George and Kawhi Leonard returning. I think there's going to be a lot of new energy. It's going to be good to have those guys back. Westbrook was bought back on a two-year deal. He really played good last year. 15-7, played with phenomenal heart in the playoffs with all the injuries they had. Now, if you look at it on paper, the Clippers are good, right? But you're saying, how often can Paul George and Kawhi Leonard stay healthy? I'm going to go against that. If they do stay healthy, I'll happily be wrong. But I'm going to take the Clippers under. Again, their under is 46.5. I'm going to take the under. I think they'll be good. They'll definitely make the playoffs. I'm not saying that, but I'm not buying these guys playing 65-plus games. I would love Kawhi to play 65-plus games. He's probably one of my five favorite players to watch. But again, the injuries are taking a toll, you know, the resting. He says when he's healthy, he plays. So he's healthy right now, and we're going to keep count of how many games that Kawhi can play. Now, when we talk about the leap, Kawhi has to take the leap because he's got to play. If Kawhi plays, the Clippers are good. If they're not, they're just a regular team with Paul George and a bunch of guys. Paul George will have a great year. One of my favorite off-season stories was a little back and forth between Paul George and Devin Booker, all right? I've been keeping little notes. I'll update it as the season goes forth, but George basically said, a lot of y'all been talking yak, a lot of y'all been talking that dumb stuff. I didn't forget. I'm taking notes, and I got something for you. Most of that was directed at Devin Booker, but it was directed at some other people too. A lot of times, Paul George catches strays. I think he's a great player. But, you know, he can leave some things to be desired with how he left certain situations. And, you know, what level of a star is he? He's a phenomenal player to me. I love him. I love Paul George. And again, it's really interesting because the younger generation, he's like their teammate, man. They swear by Paul George. So I'm not buying the Clippers. Again, I love Tyronn Lue. I love this team. I wouldn't say that there's nothing hovering over them, but I do believe that they want James Harden. And I think if you added James Harden to a Clippers team, that they are much better. You know, they're going to play faster. Sometimes with Kawhi and Paul George, they can play stagnant. They don't attack the rim enough, and they kind of settle for mid-range shots and just kind of a jump-shooting team. And even though Harden isn't the slasher he once was, he is still a creator, and he led the league in assists last year. Now, the big holdup with this is Terrence Mann and a first-round pick. So this is kind of funny. So basically, the Clippers are calling the Sixers bluff, and I have no problem with it because they don't have any team turmoil. They can go out with the team that they have on opening roster, and they can say, yo, this is our starting five. This is what we're going to run with, and this is what it is. The Sixers, on the other hand, have James Harden, who's not playing to a quote-unquote personal matter. Don't know what that means, but if it's a personal matter, I'm going to be fair and respect it. But he's not going to be ready to start the season because he hasn't practiced. There was supposed to be a lot of ramp up. Even tonight, Joel Embiid played for the first time in the preseason, and he's going to play the first game of the season, but Harden is not. Harden wants to go to the Clippers. He believes that he can get a deal with the Clippers. I think he just wants that last big contract and a chance to win a championship with a team. I thought he was going to get there with the Sixer, but that doesn't look like that's going to happen. I'm not buying the Clippers because of health. It's not every year we look at the Clippers and be like, yo, the Clippers, they got the talent, they got the depth, they got the shooting, they got the role players. They're a really good team. They have a lot of good parts, but I just don't buy overall this team. You know, I like their role players. To me, but actually, I believe last year, I ranked the Clippers as to having the best role players in the league. Now, their roster has changed a little bit, but it was kind of a hot take a little bit because I didn't really break down role players as much as I could. But again, Amir Coffey was really solid. Robert Covington is getting older, but he's still a solid 3-and-D player. Terrence Mann is a guy that they won't give up. Is a guy that I would like. I didn't know he was 6'5". That's interesting. Kenyon Martin Jr. is an absolute stud if they play him. All right, the Rockets never really got him a chance to grow and develop. He shows all the promise in the world if they play him. Xavier Moon, Marcus Morris, Mason Plumlee, Norman Powell, Josh Primo, Zubac, they have a bunch of good role players. To me, this is one of the best rosters in the NBA, but their top two guys have to play. If they play, they'll clear the over. If they don't, they won't. Based off the previous history, I'm going to guess that they won't play that many games. But if those guys play, the Clippers would be a great team. But I'm going to take their under. All right, let's keep it moving. I want to burn through kind of these last teams because some of these teams, I'm not want to waste too much time on them. But some of these teams, I do want to waste a little bit of time. Not waste, but I want to talk to them and get in depth a little bit. Who is next on the team? Let's keep going with our season previews. And next we have the Los Angeles Lakers. So the Lakers' projected win total as of today is 47.5. Clear the over. That is way too low of a number. I think the Lakers will finish towards the top of the East. I won't say where for today, but I love the Lakers over. Again, what do the Lakers bring back? They bring back a healthy LeBron James and a healthy Anthony Davis. When healthy and at their peak, these two guys are well and good to win a championship. They also have added some shooting with Gabe Vincent, who was a really solid guard. I'm not a fan of Christian Wood. I'm not a fan of Jackson Hayes, but they're both guys with good size and talent. And again, Ham's going to have to get the most out of those guys. Torian Prince will also be a solid rotation player. We'll see how they go. You know, a lot of times say how far can Lakers can go, and they say, well, if LeBron James is a top 10 player. I'm not naming 10 players over LeBron. Is LeBron playing more than 65 games? If the answer is yes, the Lakers are the best team in the West. If LeBron is hurt and that foot injury is a lingering issue, that's a problem. So let's talk about a guy that has to take up, that has to get better. I would say Rui Hachimura. So with Washington, he was inconsistent a lot, but I thought he had some really bright moments in the playoffs where he, you know, hunted mismatches, hit some open shots. And, you know, there's a lot of reports between Rob Pelinka that he really trains under LeBron, and you can see the growth in his game. You know, I'm a fan of his. I'm a fan of his talent. You know, with Washington is tough because, you know, with other guys there, and there was other guys getting shot and shooting the ball more, and he had a lot of more rank. But he's got a lot of talent. You know, also, I talked about before, but I really do appreciate the role players and the balance of this Lakers roster. Let's get into it. Jackson Hayes, Christian Wood, what they offer. Again, not the biggest fans of them, but they're both tall, 7-foot guys that give depth. Anthony Davis has talked about before that he wants to play the power forward. We can make that happen. Austin Reeves had the year of his life in the playoffs. He was up and down in the summer for Team USA, but he's a good player, all right? I know people kind of struggle to say that, but I want you to say it with me. Austin Reeves is a good NBA player. He can handle the ball. He can run pick and roll. He can hit open threes. He is a great complementary player for the Lakers, and I think he'll continue to grow. Jared Vanderbilt was a guy that didn't play a ton in the playoffs, but in the regular season, energy, defense, rebounding, stud. Gabe Vincent, more shooting, as I talked about before. I just like this Lakers team. I just think they're going to be defense. They're going to be aggressive. They're going to be physical. Again, 47.5, 48. They're going to win 50-plus games easily. Now, the biggest thing is Anthony Davis and LeBron James Hall, as I talked about at the top of the key. LeBron got to stay healthy, and Davis got to stay healthy. Now, your guess is as good as mine as how many games these guys are playing. But I'm going to say the law of averages says at some point that these guys will have one last healthy run. I'm going to buy Lakers stock. I'm buying them to take their over. All right, let's run through these last couple of teams. Next, we have the Memphis Grizzlies. Let's run through three teams each, all right? Memphis, Minnesota, and New Orleans, right? So let's start with those guys. Now, let's start with Memphis first. There's 45.5. This is tough. Ja Morant misses the first 25 games of the season. But Memphis always plays hard. They play really good at home, and they hustle. But Ja Morant misses 25 games of the season, right? So I'm kind of conflicted. They're a good team without him. They can win games. They got Derrick Rose. They got Marcus Smart. You know, they have my boy, hashtag know your role player, Desmond Bane, one of the best role players in the league. And kind of unfortunately for me, leaving the role player business, and fortunately for him, developing into a young star. Sometimes when Ja Morant doesn't play, there's more on Bane's plate. But he's a pretty good passer and facilitator, so I'm not too worried about it. I know Tyus Jones, to a lot of people, was the best backup point guard, and losing him will be tough, but I think they're going to be all right. So it's kind of tough. They also get Steven Adams back. You also look for Jaren Jackson Jr. to grow. It's tough. Like, they're going to definitely make the playoffs. Whenever Ja does get there, this team is good. They're young and improving. They'll be right there with the West. I know a lot of teams forget about them, but I'm not forgetting about them. 45.5. If you miss 25 games, you miss a quarter of the season, right? It's about 82 games, 25, 50. You still got 50 games. So that means in your 50 games, you probably have to go probably 70% winning percentage because let's say they go at least 500 in the first 25 games, right? What do you think? Do you think over or under a 45.5? I'm going to take the under, but they're going to make the playoff. And I still think whenever Ja does get there, one, he has to be more responsible, more mature, and he has to make better decisions off the court. But once he does do that, and at some point, the Memphis will start Memphising, and they'll be back, right? We'll see what happens. So I'm buying Memphis stock, but I'm taking the under, unfortunately. All right, let's keep it moving. Next team is the Minnesota Timberwolves. All right, so the biggest thing, I don't know if you watched, was the rise and growth of Anthony Edwards. All right. Minnesota's win total is 44.5. I'm taking the over. I think Minnesota finished top six in the West. They're making the playoffs. Again, Karl Anthony Towns didn't play last year. He plays this year. That's a good thing. All right. This team has a good structure to them. You know, they play defense. I'm hoping that Gobert, Towns, and Edwards can finally have better chemistry and synergy and kind of play better, because I really do like Memphis team. And it's funny, even in the playoffs, the Denver Nuggets had, Minnesota gave them their toughest challenges, you know. And so we'll see how far Minnesota can grow. Listen, whatever you want to say about Anthony Edwards, I agree. You want to have him for MVP conversation? I won't argue with it. You want to have him for first team All-NBA? Have it argued that he can make that team? I won't argue it. I will always buy Anthony Edwards stock. All right? got almost as much as $260 million, and he's worth every penny. I think he's going to be an absolute stud. From my Philadelphia 76ers, they also add Shake Milton, an undersized guard that can really shoot, that kind of lost his confidence when Doc put him in the doghouse and never let him out. The thing about Doc Rivers is he's just obsessed with veterans, and sometimes with a lot of young players, he don't got the patience with them, all right? So we'll see what happens. But I'm buying a team, you know, I'm buying Minnesota. I think they'll be good. You know, Troy Brown Jr. is also really good. Naz Reid has some great games. They re-signed him for 3 years, $42 million. I love it. Y'all know I'm not a Rudy Gobert fan, but it's not Rudy Gobert we're talking about. It's the Minnesota Timberwolves over a 44.5. Count me in. Next team. Let's keep it moving. All right. Goodness gracious. I'm sorry, y'all. My phone is acting a little slow. Here we go. The New Orleans Pelicans. They have a win total projected of 44.5. I'm going to take the over, all right? Zion looks good in the preseason. Brandon Ingram is an absolute stud. I love this team. I don't love them defensively. Yo, they got some of the best shooters in the league. When Zion is healthy, he is aggressive. He'll average over 24 points a game. His rebounds will be okay. His defense, even though he had 5 steals the other day, it can be a little bit left to desire, but I love this team. I love everything they're going to do, you know. So I'm buying their team. I am absolute buying the team. So I'm in on them. 44.5, I think that's kind of low. I think they're going to make the playoffs, whether it be the play-in tournament or the 7th, 8th seed, and their team stick. They're a really scrappy team. They have a ton of role players. They have a ton of bench scoring. CJ McCollough, Brandon Ingram, and Zion Williamson is now or never for this big three. If they don't produce and play here, one of them dudes is getting traded. All right, y'all. We got 6 teams left. Let's burn through these last couple of teams. Oklahoma, Phoenix. I already talked about Phoenix. Oklahoma, Portland, Sacramento, San Antonio, and the Utah Jazz. Let's start with the worst team out of all of them, the Utah Jazz. They would be at 35.5. All right, so Utah was the darling team, and they came out to about a 500 start after 10 games of the season. I don't think that's going to happen. They're in a weird situation. If they don't find any young, disgruntled star, I think they have all intent to tank. Now, it's tough because they have a really good coach and they have a lot of guys that play hard. They also lost a ton of close games last year. I don't expect that to change. Lauri Markkanen became an all-star. Talen Horton-Tucker really made big strides in his game. But unfortunately, I'm taking the under of 36 for Utah. But they could clear the over just by beating up on enough bad teams, all right? Keep it moving. Next, the Portland Trail Blazers. Another team I am going to take an under. Win total of 28.5. When you lose Damian Lillard, you lose wins, and you just regress as a team. Now, they did the best they could and got a good haul for them. You know, Robert Williams, Malcolm Brogdon, DeAndre Ayton. They have a lot of good parts. You know, Anthony Simons, Jeremy Grant. They got a lot of good parts. But unfortunately, them parts is not going to equal to wins. I am going to take the under for the Portland Trail Blazers. All right, let's keep it moving. San Antonio Spurs. The San Antonio Spurs win total is 28.5. I'm taking the over. Laugh at me what you want. I'm buying all Wembanyama stock. Greg Popovich will never retire. He'll be coaching until he's 95 years old. I'm buying the San Antonio Spurs. I'm buying Wembanyama. Malachi, oh, they have so many good young players that people sleep on. They're going to really upset a bunch of teams. I'm buying the Spurs, all right? Let me keep it moving. The Sacramento Kings, Phoenix. I already talked about Phoenix. Sacramento and OKC. I want to take a little bit of time on these last two teams. Let's talk about Sacramento and leave OKC for last. So the Sacramento Kings have a win total of 44.5. That's way too low. So a lot of people last year think it's kind of a fluke season. I disagree. De'Aaron Fox will not get worse. He'll get better. Domantas Sabonis played the majority of a year with a broken hand. His hand's not broken anymore. He'll be good. You know, Keegan Murray was a rookie that really had some inconsistencies, but had some really good playoff stretches. And he looks like he's going to continue to build and grow. Right. I love this team. Listen, if De'Aaron Fox doesn't get hurt, they're beating the Warriors. I hate to tell y'all that, but it is what it is. I love this team. 44 wins is really low. I think they'll finish one of the top five or six teams in the Western Conference. I'm buying it over. And last but not least, the Oklahoma City Thunder and one of my favorite players to watch in the league, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. Also a total of 44.5. I'm taking the over. They're making the playoffs. They're making the play-in tournament. They are the hardest playing team. The hardest playing team in the league with the most energy, and they bring it every single night. If you not bring it, you'll get blown out. A la the Celtics, a la the Lakers. When teams that were projected better than them just kind of came in and said, yo, dog, we finna get this win. You know, afterwards, I'm probably gonna get me like a rodeo burger from the Oklahoma Burger Shop. You know, I don't know what else you can do in Oklahoma. But forget all that. This team is good. Josh Giddey, Mr. Triple Double. SGA, there aren't 10 players better than the name of them. There aren't 10 players better than Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. And by the end of the season, there won't be five. I said what I said, right? I love OKC, and I appreciate them. And I think they're going to really turn a lot of heads. They're going to finish top six in the East, hopefully. But they're definitely beating that win total, and they're definitely making the playoffs. Luau Dort, also the addition of Chet Ingram, he's probably a swing player. Now, here's the thing. He'll be playing the power – well, he'll be playing the center, and – they won as many games as they did last year with no center. Imagine the shot blocking, the defensive versatility, the creation. Again, they were 40-42 last year, and they added the best young player in the front court. I don't think they get worse. I think they get better. Also, Isaiah Joe from the Philadelphia 76ers on the now Oklahoma City Thunder, an absolute steal and a sniper. They also improved when he was on the floor. I love his team. Luau Dort, a great 3-and-D role player. If Holmgren can play 55, 60 games, OKC is going to be absolutely phenomenal. He's going to turn a lot of heads. Again, I know he's skinny, but he can play and he's talented. And that's pretty much it, man. I hope I wasn't too long. That's the NBA season preview win total. Appreciate y'all always. We will come back Monday with the Hot Take Podcast. The season starts Tuesday. We'll come back Wednesday to recap Tuesday and talk about Wednesday and Friday. So as right now, next week, I got 3 episodes on until maybe we'll see what happens. But I'll probably do 3 episodes a week. I appreciate all the love. Like, share, subscribe, hashtag role, know your role player. That's KNOWYAROLEPLAYER. I'll talk to y'all soon. Peace.